Hurry into Gateway Buick GMC to experience 16 acres of Buick GMC and pre-owned luxury vehicles. It's the sale of the season with all-time low lease offers and 0% financing on select models. Only Gateway includes, at no extra charge, a lifetime warranty on your vehicle. Ask about select model specials on brand new vehicles. This means thousands off MSRP for you. Shop online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. Gateway, the right way.
Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After, 590 The Fan, KFNS. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Jennings Randolph Jr. with you on the radio program. Welcome to it, and send your emails in for the Hot Shots email of the day. Jennings, I have moved another 10% for the Tam Avenue Capital Partners for the DraftKings capital raise. $8,500 now has been raised, which means 85% is raised, and that leaves 15% out there. If I don't buy up a little more, I kind of am interested maybe acquiring a little more because I'm very high on Kevin Na's chances this week. And we're going to have exposure on Kevin Na all over our teams.
Okay.
So are you going to have to check with the board if you want to buy into a little more? Can you do that on your own? Do you have a free hand to do
that? I have to meet with the board. There's a special board meeting tonight, Kirkwood Brewhouse.
I tell you, if Jay ever did one of those, I'd give him a few bucks. I like your breakdown, sir. I like it.
I don't get as in-depth as the conglomerate that Tim's a part of. I just play a couple of teams. But again, I feel like I'm going to win 55 grand this weekend.
Nice.
Which helps.
What are you going to do with it?
I do believe in charity, and I do believe in giving back to the community. And one of the things that this station will do that's different than any other radio stations, I think, in St. Louis is we're going to donate time on our times that we don't use the station or where it's not a profitable thing for us to do.
Yeah, the entire 24
hours. It's going to be Sunday mornings. It's going to be called Donating Back to the Community Charity. Now, how that will happen,
it's a big logo.
It worked out, but I do believe in it.
I don't know exactly what I'd do with the 55 large. I'd have some fun. I know that. We might bring Toe Love in.
You're starting to like that Tove Lo who you're calling Toe Love.
Very bullish on her today.
What changed it for you?
Just truly what changed it was her enjoyment of taking her top off.
Flip that off, Plow Royal.
I mean, because I've seen gals take their top off and they just take it off. This gal, she did a little fake you out where she walked behind and then she just busted out.
Take your shirt off, Larry. Show me the nips.
That was Scott's Wrinkled Ballsack's wife.
Very neat.
She did that?
Well, she didn't do it. She asked Larry.
Yeah.
She asked. That's what she did, and that's a little unsettling.
Big Facebook Live.
And Larry didn't do it. Now, she asked me that. The shirt's off in 2 seconds, and the pants.
And just so I know, Iggs, I mean, there seems to be a little potential on this one.
No. She's just having fun. That's fine. She wants to go to a concert. We'll have fun. It's great.
I love the way you question because there's such sincerity.
Absolutely. I always like keeping up with my man Iggs. You never know
what's
coming.
Iggy, give me this isn't a poll question. I'm not a pollster.
Gallup poll.
But what percent would you put on possibly something happened? We know it would be a long shot. You said, she's just having fun. But there's always a chance. So give me your percentage, please.
Zero.
Zero, really?
Wow. They're just having fun.
Just having fun.
Which is fine. And if she wants to go to Gaga as friends, we have a nice group going. I think Learn from KSHE is going to join us for cocktails. So we'll have a nice little group going to Gaga.
I didn't know this. This is a whole thing now. I don't know Learn from KSHE.
I'd never heard of her, and I saw her the other day, and I'm kind of like, who's this?
Where'd you see her, Jenny? Was
on
she
Twitter.
Out playing the rock?
No, she was on Twitter. When I see a good-looking girl, I go in depth.
Or to get rid of the free dotum guy, whoever that might be.
Gabe.
I wonder if we can get a free, yell a free dotum out at Gaga.
You think she'll do it for us?
No, we can do it.
What would you do? You'd spontaneously combust.
Yeah, if she said free dotum?
Yeah.
No.
Will you?
No, you'd be disappointed. Yeah. No, you, because you know what? We know you love the show. We know you're loyal to the show. But you look at Gaga as better than all this crap.
Yeah.
Yes.
No, I do. But it would be fun to see her. Welcome, St. Louis. Free dotum.
You view her as more of like a Kevin Wheeler show kind of loyalist.
Well,
shout out to Wheels.
Yep.
She's just on an upper echelon of above everybody except for you. But
hit the gong. Bash that thing, too.
Nicely done, Jennings.
Thank you.
Well struck.
No, but if she wants to go to the concert, she can go as a friend. That's fine.
In all honesty, dude, is this like a fantasy right now?
Plowhawk, you have come back from the Hamptons and firing all cylinders. Big Boss in North County wants to be part of the Tam Avenue Capital Partners, the syndicate, Jennings. He says he's in for 5%. You got to email me, baby, because this is probably going to be gone by the time we're done.
Yeah.
Yeah, 85%.
How many teams will you have? 30?
30 at 333 apiece.
And how many, I mean, is it hard to say how many of those 30 will have multiple guys? I mean, that will Rory be like, on 10 teams?
Yeah,
yeah,
so, I mean, again, one of the handicaps when you put draft, like the way the DFS players approach it is, you know, everything's about stock markets, game theory, much less poker, daily fantasy sports. And so if you are of the opinion, like who will be the most selected player this week, I would think it's either Spieth or McIlroy.
Yep.
Do you think?
I would think.
Or for McIlroy, do you have to be like, is the casual fan aware of what he did in Ohio this past weekend? You know, I don't know.
Right.
Like you are.
Do they know
I am.
His history at Quail Hollow?
I don't know.
Which is good.
You know,
Ricky
so.
Fowler, also a guy that has played fantastic golf at Quail.
So you want
Hollow.
Me to have some exposure on him?
Well, I don't. Again, the unique thing about this week's PGA, and you don't see it very often, is where a regular PGA Tour stop hosts a major championship, and at a totally different time of the year. Now, I have seen players already tweeting about how great the condition of the golf course is. And I say the name Johnny Harris because he was the driving force on getting this PGA to Quail Hollow. And they will pull out all the stops.
My favorite hole in the property.
No question.
Scott Trinkled Ballsack has just texted in.
Yep.
And he says, Plowsy, your drop game is fire. He's not addressing the elephant in the room.
He didn't go in. He did not address the
kind of went all around that one. Just went straight to the drops.
Right.
You know what we've been talking about, buddy, right?
Now, hold on a second. I see there was a text. I didn't see it earlier from 9 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Jay, that was a super taut read. Agreed. Hmm. I don't know what he was making reference to, though, at that time.
It could be toe. Toe love.
Toe love.
Oh, that she enjoyed being nude.
Yeah. Right. I mean, again, I've seen a lot of nakedness. And
more than your share.
Yeah, I mean, a fair share, more than most. And it just impressed me the way she embraced it. She just seemed so excited to be nude.
Well, that's
she vamped a little.
That's the reason why I dig her, is because clearly she's comfortable with her sexuality. I don't know if she's pansexual, though.
Not to mention her hot body that looks hot in a bikini.
And we still haven't officially defined pansexual.
That's correct.
Okay.
Something's better left unanswered.
Right. But the listeners wonder. Seamaster sent this over. Jeff Passan wrote.
Ugh.
Now, why'd you? I picked up a read.
Another guy that just wants to be heard or just wants somebody to react.
He believes that the world should appoint him the morality for everybody.
He and Doug are currently sideways. So he wrote a column and said, I guess he's listing players that he would put in the Hall of Fame.
That are playing today?
Currently playing. So I guess he's breaking down. Jose Altuve will be a Hall of Famer someday. You know, I have to say, it's tough. I feel like when I'm talking about Hall of Famers, current players, and they're in the American League, and I just don't see them much, I don't feel like I can speak as confidently, albeit an opinion, on the American League players as I can on the teams.
Well, just yell about it, then.
Yeah, no, I should do that. But Altuve isn't a guy that at this moment, but then when you think about his numbers, you go, yeah, I guess he's just, he's only 27. But at the same time, Trout's just turned 26. It's just he's been doing it for a super long time. Mike Trout's a Hall of Famer. If he were to pass away tragically today, Mike Trout would be in the Hall of Fame. I think we would all agree with that.
Yep.
Miguel Cabrera, I would think he's a Hall of Famer.
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Joey Votto. I don't know on that. With the numbers he puts up.
He is sick.
He's just so damn good, but he's on such bad teams. Although the Reds did have a few years in there.
You think about a guy who gets as many walks, who has the on-base percentage, and still has power production and drives and runs. I mean, he is a sick player. He is a dangerous guy. If you put him on another team, you're right. He would get more attention.
Chris Sale and Max Scherzer couldn't have more diametrically opposed deals and still find themselves in the same category on their way to the Hall of Fame. This is a bit of a catch-all group, admittedly, with disparate resumes, but similar feelings. He may not quite be there yet, but he's pretty close. Bryce Harper, I think that's likely lock. Then he gets to Yadier Molina. Says Yadier Molina proves it doesn't necessarily take scintillating offensive numbers to draw consideration as a Hall of Famer. Much to the consternation of the best fans in baseball, I'm not on the Molina Hall bandwagon. Much as I appreciate his ability behind the plate, an ability I don't believe defensive metrics take into account, thus leaving his wins above replacement total lower than it ought to be, Molina already is a below average offensive player for his career, and those numbers are likely to get worse as he ages. For me, Molina is a borderline category that is loaded with difficult choices. It includes older guys, Chase Utley and CC Sabathia, another defensive wizard, Andrelton Simmons, this generation's Ozzie Smith, Omar Vizquel. This is a guy that I haven't seen a whole lot of. Is he considered a borderline Hall of Famer?
Vizquel?
No. Andrelton Simmons.
It's a little young for that, isn't it?
I think.
It's a little early in the ball game.
I don't know on that. Maybe I'm misreading it. I don't know. This generation's Ozzie Smith / Omar Vizquel. I don't know. I just don't see it. Closers, Aroldis Chapman and Kenley Jansen. Infielders with either great peak years or consistent excellence, but not both. Dustin Pedroia, Ian Kinsler, Evan Longoria, Troy Tulowitzki. Starting pitchers, Zach Greinke, Cole Hamels, and John Lester. And one of the most underrepresented positions today, an outfielder, Andrew McCutchen. At the very least, all are in the Hall of Very Good right now. A few will separate themselves with a couple more great seasons and put themselves square in Hall of Fame consideration. All it takes is playing like, and then he gets into his next name, which is Corey Seager. Of course, he's very, very young. He's not saying he's in right now. But I do feel like, you know, it is kind of like being in the bubble. It's like San Francisco last night celebrated Barry Bonds' 10th anniversary of breaking Hank Aaron's record. And in the bubble that is San Francisco, Barry Bonds is worshipped. But outside of the bubble, you know, there is not that celebration, of course. I have a great appreciation for Yadier Molina. I feel like the foregone conclusion that Yadier Molina is a Hall of Famer would be, there'd be a great discrepancy between if you took it inside the bubble of St. Louis versus outside.
Yeah.
And I don't have the numbers, and I know the numbers will matter. And I also realize anytime I talk about Jim Edmonds, people go, oh, it's because you're friends with him. But I couldn't be more confused as to how Jim Edmonds didn't last more than one ballot with not only his defensive numbers, but also his postseason success and, of course, the defense and the gold gloves.
He's good offensive numbers, too.
Great. That's what I'm saying.
Just shy of 400 home runs, right?
Yeah. And then he didn't last more than 1 year, but then Yadier Molina is considered to be a foregone conclusion. Yeah. I don't get that.
Well, with Edmonds, plus it's center field. You know, that's an important position, strong up the middle. So I agree with that. His offensive numbers are really good. And he was a transformative defensive player. I think he should be in. With Yadi, I agree.
At the very least, because I recognize that's, you know, that's taking it from not even on the ballot to being in. But at the very least, not being off after 1 year. Now, I recognize it's only fair to include the process. And I think Derek Gould and a couple other people wrote about it outside of St. Louis. that the process of the year that Edmonds was on was a year in which there were a bunch of players, some of whom were in their last year or two of eligibility, and people, and they could only select 10 names. Right. And so he ran bad, so to speak. But from my standpoint, I just don't know if one is passionate that Molina is in, but then also wouldn't include Edmonds. I'd be curious on the rationale, not to say that I would argue vehemently or anything like that. I'd just be curious with the rationale.
No, because you've got a guy that had success at the dish and was as good an outfielder as you could find.
One of the best defensively of all time.
No question.
Offense. You know, with Yachty, I agree with you that he's not a surefire Hall of Famer. I do kind of disagree in that I know fan-wise inside the bubble, you know, Yachty's considered can't-miss Hall of Famer. But in terms of baseball writers and guys that I know, media guys outside of the St. Louis market, they hold Yachty in high regard as a transformative defensive player from behind the plate, you know, and handling pitchers. I think he gets a lot of respect from the guys that will vote on it. And I think it's not a surefire thing, but I think Yachty will be a Hall of Famer.
And my question would be, and I haven't gone through all the catchers, but the ones off the top of my head are in basically offensively. You know, Johnny Bench, good defensive catcher, but he's in for his offense.
Yep.
Yachty
he was really good defensively.
He was, but offensively he was also great. Carlton Fisk, the numbers. Yachty would basically be going in as a defensive Hall of Famer. He hasn't done anything really offensively. It would be his Gold Gloves and All-Star games.
And again, so I want to make it clear. I'm not saying that he shouldn't be. I think what happened with Edmonds makes me go, I don't understand what the difference is. And if anything, I think we would all agree that Jim Edmonds was a better, maybe even much better, offensive player.
I think that's fair.
Than Yachty or Molina. And it's not like, as the cat pointed out, he was doing it in center field. And I can recall, like, my father as an example, but I'm sure I'd be curious what your dad would say, Jay, and other people who saw the Cardinals and saw baseball in the 60s and 70s and 80s would say he's the best. And it's not like my dad and I sit there and talk baseball all the time. He's the best defensive center fielder I've ever seen. And then he didn't even make it to the side. That confused the hell out of me. And the weird thing is, what did he wind up with, 392, 394 home runs? It's dumb. But if he hits 6 or 8, whatever the number is, to get him to 400.
Is that the measuring
stick? Yeah. Yep. It's like there was one year, it might have been 09, might have been 11. No, it wasn't 11 because he was injured, where Wainwright left the field with the lead for what would have been his 20th win, and the bullpen blew it. He wound up with 19 wins, and then it might have been Lincecum who wound up winning the Cy Young that year. And it's my opinion that had the bullpen held on to that, that Wainwright would have won the Cy Young. And that to me is
dumb.
That's pretty concise. One syllable gets us home. Yeah, dumb.
I mean, because you say, you know, everyone's looking for the measuring stick. There is really no measuring stick. One size does not fit all when you're voting on something.
Not anymore, but before the steroid era, a guy like Fred McGriff, I don't know, he probably finished, what, 15, 20 short of 500? If he hits 500 back in that era, he's probably in the Hall of Fame because he has 500 home runs. I think he's just short of that. And, you know, how many?
Yeah. Crime Dog, 483.
Yeah, 7 short, another 7 home runs. He's probably in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. But almost an auto at that point.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is ridiculous to just say a number is an auto.
Right. Yeah. And that's the thing. But, you know, at the same time, I can speak, I feel like, passionately and more in an informed manner on Yachty or Molina and Jim Edmonds because I watched them and watch them still for, you know, I mean, you know, going on close to 20 years when you have, you know, Edmonds starting in St. Louis in 2000 and Molina starting here in 2004. I can't speak to that with any other team. Now, some teams in the National League Central, you know, whether it be the Cubs, Brewers, Reds, Pirates, you know, I feel like a little bit more, and that's why I say, like, Altuve or somebody who would be kind of a veteran that spent most of his time in the American League. I guess at this point, Miguel Cabrera has spent the vast majority of his career in the American League. I just don't feel like I can speak as confidently. But to me, the Edmonds thing and not making it past the first ballot was just a farce. And that wasn't just observed by me. There were other people who said something's wrong with the process if a guy like that doesn't even make it past.
Can't get past 5%. It's just
But my point is regarding Passan's column that understandably will upset some Cardinal fans or a lot of Cardinal
Already
fans.
Already did, yep.
That if Edmonds didn't make it past the first ballot, I don't understand how it's a lock that Yadier Molina's in. That's not me saying that he should or shouldn't be in. I'm looking at the process of the voters. I am not one of them and going, well, if you would have thought this, then...
No, that's a legitimate. That's a legitimate question, right,
especially when you're talking about a better offensive player.
Much and frankly, much better, probably.
So I don't know on that, guys. Tim is a surefire broadcasting Hall of Famer. Thanks. That's Timmy Tom. We weren't talking about it, but I agree. We don't. Let's see. It was 2009 against the Brewers, and the Cardinals had a 6-0 lead, and Waino got screwed. 6-0 lead. He left with a 6-0 lead, and they blew that. Jeez.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that. They did have some bullpen issues.
I had a game of spirit win.
And so, therefore, he won 30 games that year. Yeah. Spirit wins.
And, Tim, I also think, you know, the Broadcasting Hall of Fame waits for you to be 5 years into retirement before you're put on the ballot. I think that'll just put you on there now.
I agree.
I
hope that doesn't come off the wrong way. I agree. Here's one of the reasons why, and that's my skin soft. And the reason for that, Jay, as you know, is Harry's.
Absolutely.
Harry's Razors, a great sponsor here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Save time and money with Harry's. I can speak to Harry's working for me, and therefore I can speak to them working for you. They're available to provide you an amazing quality shave at an affordable price. By owning the factory and taking less profits, they pass those savings directly on to you. Over 3 million guys have made the switch to Harry's. 100% satisfaction guaranteed or your money back. Great news. Harry's is so confident you will love their blades. They're giving you their set for free. Just cover shipping. Your free trial set includes ergonomic razor handle, 5 precision engineered blades with lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, travel blade cover. We've partnered with Harry's to bring you this incredible offer. Head over to harrys.com/insidestl to get it now. Get started with Harry's today and get their free trial offer for free. All you do is cover just a few bucks in shipping. To get your free trial set, including a handle, blade, shave gel, and travel blade cover, go to harrys.com/insidestl. That's harrys.com/insidestl. Don't wait. Get started with Harry's today. I've been fortunate enough to see 2 world championships in my life, but my favorite Cardinal memory outside of those 2 championships is the Edmonds walk-off home run in Game 6 of the 2004 NLCS. That is the first time and one of 2 times in my life of going to Busch Stadium. Jennings, you might be able to, that Busch Stadium.
Yep.
Speak to others.
Yeah.
I don't know if you were there for Ozzy in 85, if it would have happened, but I remember the building shaking when Edmonds hit that home run. And then the next night, when Roland hit the home run off of Roger Clemens, the building shook. And I'm thinking to myself, I've been to games, and it had to have been 500 to 750 games at that point at that ballpark, and I had never felt it shake, and it shook when Edmonds hit that home run.
For those that were there in 82 with the win for the World Series.
Oh, is that right?
That was being 13, and I probably went to more games that year than any year in my life. It was almost like an out-of-body experience.
Really?
And I was with some older people who had driven. Senior had gotten the tickets.
Aunt Peg?
No, it was not Aunt Peg or hitting the Toffee Dot. It would have been really cool if it was. And, you know, they're trying to, don't run on the field. Don't run on the field. But that was mind-blowing. But the Edmonds homer is one that'll live forever.
Yeah.
I mean, that was unbelievable.
Yeah, the reaction. And then the next. I mean, you had 24 hours
there. I mean,
there
just boom, boom.
Game 6, Game 7, you're down 3-2. And keep in mind, when you're talking about great playoff series, that the Astros won Game 5 with a walk-off home run.
Yep.
Isringhausen, Jeff Kent. And then the following year, of course, you had Pools and Lidge. So those teams had. And then the following year, you had Yadier Molina, top of the ninth at Shea Stadium, and then Adam Wainwright freezing Carlos Beltran. I mean, you're talking about a lifetime of great baseball moments in a matter of...
Just like that.
Yeah, just like that. Let's see. How about the Edmonds catch in Game 7 of the 2004 NLCS? Yeah, I include that in there. Tim, the Tommy Herr 10th inning home run versus the Mets in 87 on seat cushion night. Jennings, were you there for that?
I was not there for the seat cushion.
That's when they littered the field with seat cushions in celebration. It was the last seat cushion night.
Last, yeah, that was the end of that.
People don't use seat cushions anymore. You ever notice they don't give those away?
Why is that?
They still give them.
People a little bulkier and they don't need it.
They still give them out at the Super Bowl, and they put your little gift set and your radio in the seat cushion. But you don't see seat cushions as much as you used to. You think there's more padding? People are fatter?
I think that might be it, or they're making
better
chairs,
seats.
Chairs that are better.
You could certainly use them at Wrigley. No seats.
It's part of the fun, though. I love
Is it part of the fun?
I love it. Well, not that I mean, I'm in regional cable. I'm not sitting in the stand.
Right.
I'm in the cushy press box.
Right. It's so nice there.
Yadi might have 2,000 hits, 150 home runs, two World Series championships, and major postseason moments on his resume. I think his offense, while not Hall of Fame worthy, is not quite the detriment some believe.
Because his...
That's from the 916.
Because his defensive success, and let's be honest, for the people that really know his effect on pitchers and what he has meant to pitchers, has to have some weight. Right, Cap?
Absolutely. I mean, everyone raves about the way he handles the staff.
Guys, Molina is 750 hits and 600 RBIs behind non-Hall of Famer Ted Simmons. That's from Jim and Cresswood.
Simmons
should on the Simmons thing,
I don't
honestly,
that,
that was before my time. I remember I liked his name, and I had like some doll or something like that.
Simba?
And I knew that I named it Ted Simmons. But I had no
idea. You named
idea.
Your doll, Ted, so I'm going to tell him that.
There were like two baseball player dolls that I had in my room. Mm-hmm. And
Gary Templeton?
I think Templeton was the other one. I believe it was the only Gary Templeton doll in South St. Louis.
Jump steady.
If I just would break down the demographics of my neighborhood, I would have to wager that was the case. So I was familiar with him, but I didn't really watch him play. But what I know about Ted Simmons, he was on the team the Cardinals beat in the World Series. That's what I know about him.
Yep. The Brewers.
Yeah, he was in the Brew Crew, along with Pete Vukovich,
who
was also a member of the Cardinals.
Also in Major League.
Also in Major League, yes, indeed. Jimmy Edmonds has a better case and got screwed. Yadi is not a Hall of Famer yet. Well, I guess it's not necessarily a lock in the end. But again, I think our audience is less beefy than like some of the other
That would say it's
audiences.
An automatic.
Right.
Yep. How could you dare say Yadi is not a Hall of Famer?
Right. I don't know. I think the love for Yadier Molina in St. Louis is larger.
What percentage he gets in?
What's that?
What would you say? 50-50, 60-40?
I would say 80% he gets in.
Yeah, I would say that's about fair, too.
But I feel like
You're not Bubble Boy.
I feel like, for lack of a better term, narrative advances the ship along in the current. In other words, Edmonds was not ever really considered, nor was there that much talk about him being a Hall of Famer outside of this market. I felt like, I could be wrong on that, it's not like I have data, but I feel like when the Cardinals are on Sunday Night Baseball, which seems to be every other week, I know the players really, really enjoy it.
I love it.
You like it, I don't know about
it. Cat likes it a lot.
That they talk about that becomes a talking point, and I feel like that will help it along. The other thing, as far as run bad goes with Edmonds, and I remember him saying this going in, he goes, I'm going to be on the ballot the same year as Griffey. And just naturally, that's going to overshadow it. I don't know, you know, catcher-wise, if...
Who's the last catcher to be in the Hall of Fame?
Pudge Rodriguez this year.
Pudge this year, yeah.
Okay.
And before
and he was
that...
He became a good offensive player. Not necessarily early on in his career. He was all defense, but he became a good offensive player.
Piazza last year or 2 years ago?
Yeah, that's right, Higgy. A couple years ago on that one.
Piazza, good offense, not so good defense.
Right.
Not as good.
No.
Let's see. This is from one of our loyal sponsors. I don't know what his name read because he sent it to my phone. But he says, Jimmy Ballgame got screwed on the Hall of Fame vote. It was a total injustice. More fallout from the steroids era. Something needs to be done to get him back on the ballot. The Hall of Fame is a joke if Piazza's in over Jimmy Ballgame and Yadier Molina. On the Piazza thing, I don't know. I feel like that. I don't know numbers wise on that. If that's like a no brainer, he did play in L.A. He did play in New York. He had a very famous home run.
He was certainly front and center in
right.
Major League Baseball.
So I don't know if he's playing in Cincinnati and St. Louis if he gets. I don't know.
What about?
I'm saying I don't know. I'm not taking a shot. Passive aggressive.
Jim, what about his point on Edmonds playing in the steroid era? I think if there was one guy that would have been the poster child, in a sense, for non-steroids, it would have been Jim.
And Jim talked about this on the radio, because before the first time he talked about it, it was just surprisingly, because we never really would talk baseball, and I understood that. I'm a media guy. He's a ball player. You separate the stuff, and you don't get into it. But he talked about it when we did the show. He said he knew a bunch of people around him were doing it because everybody in baseball was doing it. Not everybody, but so many people were. And he said what he noticed was the guys who would start doing it or he thought were doing it would then see their defense
affected
in a negative way, and that's how he was making his living, and so he wasn't going to mess with it.
Right.
So that was discussed on our show.
Yeah, I mean, I would say...
But you're guilty by association, not of players per se, but of the era.
Yeah. But like I said, if you looked at a little closer, I think you could say, hey, this guy, I mean, from the eye, didn't do it, and maybe that's why you give him another boost.
See, I don't... Good or bad, I don't like the eye test, because you don't know.
Well, you're right.
To me, when you're voting,
yeah.
Well, that would be like, hey, you know, this guy got big. Well, maybe he did it naturally. Sure, you're under that umbrella.
Right.
If everyone else did it, you know, through a substance.
Yeah.
But there are guys who just got bigger, and that's why I think I could tell who was used. No, you really can't. You can't. No one can tell for certain.
It affects guys differently, too.
Yeah.
Yep.
Guys, if there was a BCS aggregator for Hall of Fame stats that compiled data and spit out candidates, I'm not sure that Yachty and many of his contemporaries make the cut. Dilution of talent hurts this generation.
Yeah, I just think Yachty is so good defensively and changed the game defensively and is so widely respected for that. I think he has a very good chance.
And there's another guy that has improved or did improve his hitting prowess.
Let's see. Passan has been pretty consistently anti-Cardinals. He seems to know he can create a stir from the fans online. Was the only national guy I noticed latched on to the Outsports story. And I think he is a KC guy. That is from Don Lemming. Don Lemming.
Yeah, I like Passan, but I will say I see him killing fanboys all the time. But around the Royals, he seems to be a fanboy of Kansas City.
Yachty is most akin to Benito Santiago, great but not Hall of Fame unless he gets another couple rings.
He's That's better than Benito Hugh Santiago.
Jazz. Yeah, I would agree on
He's
that.
He's better than Benito.
Benito Santiago had a nice softball game down in Miami for that All-Star celebrity softball game, though, and I don't know if that'll
factor in.
Take into account.
It's a resume builder, Tim.
If there was a BCS aggregator for TMA email talent, my guess is you'd see the CJ6 and White Collar Gangster hashtag tied for last. Where did that come from?
Mm.
An anti-CJ6 and white-collar gangster texter out of nowhere.
Wow.
Ozzie Smith was mediocre at best at the plate, but was his Hall of Fame status ever in question? Yachty was/is the best defensive catcher to ever do it. Well, I mean, that's... I can't just, like, enter in
blanket
opinion
statement.
Into... And then we're going to build our premise off of that. Can we say the same about Edmonds? Maybe, maybe not. Yeah, I think if you went around the country and asked baseball writers and baseball broadcasters who the best defensive catcher in the history of the game was, I don't think that they're just all going to like instantaneously rattle off Yachty or Molina. I think many would.
Yeah.
You think some would say that he is the best defensive catcher in the history of the game?
In the discussion, I think his name would come up. I'm not saying, okay, this guy's the best, but I think his name comes up with that.
But I think if you ask baseball writers and baseball broadcasters around the country who the best defensive shortstop was in the history of the game, I think many would immediately say Ozzie Smith.
Hear, hear.
And he did end up with 2,500 hits, so he kind of taught himself to be a better hitter.
He got better as well.
Yeah. And we're seeing that with Yachty, too.
So some of the best fans are getting ready for Frank's show at 10. Tim Yachty is an effing lock. Dude is inarguably the best catcher of the last decade. You rule your position for a decade. Use a lock.
And then there's intangibles, too. For example, he will do a post-game interview with his mask on, which
And you can't factor that in. Johnny Bench didn't do it.
What?
No, I'm just...
Let's see. Ozzie is the best defender at any position in terms of war. That's from White Marcus.
Don't start with war.
Guys, I'm not. Don't save me, bro. Not okay with the random white collar gangster shot out of nowhere. That's Juan from the PP Corp is the worst texter, Avi, and that comes from Juan from the PP Corp. God, so meta. If we had a BCS aggregator for best AM sports talk show host, Tim would be all-time number one. Thanks. That's from the ball and bottom feeder.
A lot of BCS stuff going on.
The catch is not. I mean, it was a right roundhouse right. It's a roundhouse right. Jennings, guess where we are next Monday?
Next Monday.
Mm-hmm.
Is it at a golf tournament?
Are you doing the show on Monday?
No, I'm a Tuesday guy.
I think it's me, you, and Doug, actually, the cat.
All right.
Are you in?
I think Monday, yeah.
We're at St. Albans, Jack. Nice. I have never played St. Albans.
Never?
Never. I'm going to get a chance to do it on
Monday.
On Monday. Good. It's the Vogel Heating and Cooling presenting the 48th annual Jack Buck Classic on Monday, August 14th at the award-winning St. Albans Country Club. The tournament benefits the CF Foundation, a cystic fibrosis foundation designed to aid CF patients in therapy and leading the charge into finding a cure. This event is near and dear to the Vogels, as their youngest son has this horrible disease, but because of the CF Foundation, he has lived a fairly healthy and normal life. To buy tickets for this event, please visit gateway.cff.org. Gateway.cff.org.
Great tournament, by the way.
Yeah, 48 years. Yep. Jack Buck. Plowhawk, can you tell the audience about the post? Because I know you are the postmaster general.
Yes, he is.
Oh, yeah, we kick it. I got a couple post lighters there in the center console of the Lumina. You know, just in case mine run out, you know what it is, Jenny.
I do.
They also do great food. We also know about their cheesesteak. But during every Cardinal game, $3.75, 22-ounce Wells and domestic draft specials, free shots for every home run Jed Jerko hits, 10% off all regular price items for just wearing Cardinal gear, and free ticket giveaway during every Tuesday and Friday game. Happy hour specials Monday through Friday from 3 to 6 p.m. and all day on Tuesday, $2.50 domestic pints, $3 Wells, $5 select appetizers, the Post Sports Bar and Grill. Stay posted, my friends.
Wow, 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 wow. Guys, if there were a BCS aggregator about weirdos who meet for lunch and drinks and throw clothes parties, the CJ6 would win. Thanks, that's from Tony Baloney. There's something going on here.
A lot
here.
Of factions.
I don't know what's going on, Jennings. The audience is dividing into House CJ6, House Goob 11.
Yep. The G8 Summit.
Plowhawk, where are you at this moment?
Oh, Goob 11, which could extend. Like I said, we have some...
There's some people
you
that
know, some guys
in.
On the waiting list. Tribbs and Nipsey are obviously up there.
Yep. So we're going to go out to... Are they St. Chuck folk?
I'm not sure. One Chi-Town's finest, but I'm not for sure where he originally grew up in St. Lou.
Chesterfield.
But,
Chesterfield Bay.
What is a St. Louis sticker bus? I usually know every single sponsor that's on the list of lives, and I don't know what this is. I have to be honest with you. Yeah. I mean, welcome aboard.
Promote the St. Louis sticker bus.
All right. I don't know what it is. I just saw it pop up. Who's doing the spot, Seamaster?
Seamaster. Sticky V.
Seamaster's like, I don't know. He's you, I suppose.
Good answer. Barrett, teach you that one?
I got to find it. All right. STL Sticker Swap is a local collection of artists, designers, brands, and sticker lovers. They're teaming up with Bi-State Metro to attempt a Guinness World Record for the most stickers on a city bus.
How about that?
The plan is to place 28,000 unique stickers on a 40-foot-long Metro bus. Do you have a sticker and want to help set a world record? Then send them over to STL Sticker Swap before September 1st. Want to brand your business using an entire window on said bus and be seen by millions of people around the world, as well as over 25,000 people each day at LouFest, then you need to visit stlstickerbus.com. Plowsy, stop talking about the Goob 11 now before you reveal more that you shouldn't. Shut up. Justin in Columbia. Justin in Columbia's son was down at Pinehurst playing this weekend. Did you know
was
that,
he
Jerry?
Really? I didn't know that. With the U.S. Kids Golf deal? Okay. I saw that the U.S. Kids Golf Championships was going on down there, and my friend Kelly Gibson, who played the tour for a number of years, his son was playing down there, but I didn't know about Justin in Columbia.
How about that? Let's see. Steven Wildwood, I'm repping the Wildwood 1, bitches. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
The War of Five Lemmings, guys. That's from the Billy Baldnobbers. Yachty isn't even the best Cardinals catcher ever. Has anyone forgotten about Eric Fryer? What about Tony Cruz? Thanks, that's Craig, the CPA.
What went through your mind when you were told that the contract was done?
What's that?
Lousy. I mean, you ought to take more vacation.
Yeah, I mean, you just come back firing on all cylinders. You know what it's time for now, Jennings?
That email of the day.
Yeah, that's a Hot Shots email today. Steven Wildwood, member of the Wildwood One, has 3 wins already in August and is trying to pull off another victory here for a month. All right, snap it up, fellas. We got to put out an APB, alert the authorities, and what have you. Someone needs to get at young Tove Lo and tell her to cover up dem pellets before Yarnface gets his pumpkin-toned mitts. Oh, Yamface gets his pumpkin-toned mitts into her. Old Leatherhead will have that poor broad applying lotion whilst trapped in the pit at Casa de Creep faster than you can say sunflower patch. Quick, distract his wrinkled ass with a $3 box of wine before he strikes again. CJ 6 here later, Lefty Jack Smear. The CJ 6, Jennings.
Representing. Yep.
No box wine for me.
Thank you. No, you did say the other day, no box wine.
Guys, Plaps here. Have you heard about this new app, Sarah, where people can anonymously leave you constructive criticism? I think it's a terrible idea, but F you guys. So I set up an account for the show, and we've gotten a few pointers already. This is exciting. Ugh. Somebody from San Francisco says you guys need to get better at teasing. A user with a screen name, I got Sarah too. I be on Radio 920 tomorrow. Left a little note that says, pick up my call, Darren. I've been on hold since Monday at 7 a.m. A user named AltonGrad316 says, you should make the WWE recap a daily feature. This one's odd. The Brentwood Forest Boy writes, I like when Charlie gets to fill in because he's neat, handsome, and thin, and really there's no reason to blame him for the failure of the 6 radio shows he's been a part of. Finally, someone named Billy Blue Seat says, bring back Afternoon Delight, you jerks. I hate you. So, guys, if anything, we've got a little meat to gnaw off the bone at our next programming meeting. Thanks. That's from Misty Plops.
Oh, Strongs. Nicely done.
Very strong.
Morn, as I flip on the switch for my analog AM radio and hear the dulcet tones of Jennings Jr., it brings a wave of familiar feelings all over my frail twink body. You know that feeling you get when you make eye contact with the naughtiest tranny in the club. You know that feeling you get when you're at a family arena urinal and the splashback from the Hoosier next to you grazes your forearm and you give it a small taste and it tastes like fresh Michigan asparagus. Think about it. That's from Tunnels 12,000.
Oh, one of my favorites.
Congratulations to Bowtie, this little league manager, and these players who are giving such great effort. 3 in a row. 500 mark. Enough. 500 means you lost as many games as you won. We are not the mediocre fans in baseball. We are the best fans in baseball. I'm sure the media in this town is ready to give the cat another ring. Side note, can I borrow that ring this weekend? I'm fitting to be on the prowl because the lady will be out of town. The standing ovation for Adams on Friday will probs be the longest in that press box where they are more worried about stuffing their fat faces with free food rather than holding these losers and this little league manager accountable. Switching gears, these nerds better slow their roll on this Game of Thrones episode this past Sunday. Don't get me wrong, it was good and that war scene was incredible. However, that dragon queen didn't show a hint of nudity. The only way the King of the North is bending a knee is he's bending both of them, and he is taking you from behind. You best get naked this season, woman. T's and P's for me as I watch Game of Thrones and this Redbird bunch. Tired of it! Steve in Wildwood.
Pretty good, too.
Yep.
Boy, it's big. Morning, in honor of the Cardinals hitting the 500 mark, I present a haiku. Wilmore Park men's room tryst. My eyes gaze upon Doug's torn jorts. Twinks jackhammer to 500. Sincerely, the man whore from the craft store.
The man whore from the craft store.
Sounds good. Howdy. Did Larry say he went to his cousin's wedding at the Cracker Barrel? That's a nice place, sir. The wife and I had our reception there. To entertain the guests instead of the disposable cameras on the tables, we put out Woolly Willy toys. You know, those boards with the bald guy's face on it, and you move around the magnetic pieces to give him hair or a beard or whatever. Loads of fun. Before she made it big, our wedding singer was Halsey. She used the front porch as her stage. She sang ditties from a rocking chair and then inevitably took off her top, and the Fenton police made us shut her down. Tell Seamaster to set up his registry at the Cracker Barrel gift shop. Nothing says congratulations on your nuptials like a heart-shaped golf game tee. Bill Pullman's Independence Day speech.
We got a good batch.
Yeah, they came through.
Today.
They came through. That's what happens when the Plowhawk ratchets up the drops.
Yep.
The audience responds. Hey, kiddos, so I hear tell that Iggy is cucking Scotch Wrinkled Ballsack and taking his lovely lass to the Lady Gaga concert. My condolences to Scotch Wrinkled Ballsack. While there will be a large crowd, I'd still put her odds of survival at about 10%, which is still better than the payoff for Tim's DraftKings PGA Championship investors. And I know we can't blame Iggy too much for his deviant nature, because baby, he was born this way, but it's horrifying to know Iggy will end the night wearing a human meat suit. R.I.P., Mrs. Ballsack. Keep up the good cuck work, Leatherface. That's from the Webster Ween Peeker.
Top notch today.
Hey, boys. Went to the Old River to Pair Yacht Club last night to enjoy me a cube steak and Busch beer. The cigarette machine was broken and the air conditioning unit in the window wasn't working, so I decided to take the yacht out for a spin. That's when I saw an orange-faced Hoosier with skin resembling beef jerky on a paddle boat. He asked me if I had any younger sisters or daughters who enjoyed Two-Buck Chuck and Lady Gaga. The whole thing is making me reconsider membership on the lovely to Pair River proper. That's from Sandy Crook.
Sandy Crook.
Hey, host. So I got news that later this month, an oddly shaped, brightly colored crater-surfaced object will be passing between the sun and our dear Earth. I knew his ego was inflated, but who knew Iggy's face was massive enough to eclipse the sun? Good day, all. Timmy Recaps. Timmy Recaps, a member of the CJ6, Iggy, or is he not?
Mighty quiet, Iggy.
Yeah. Well, he bought me two bottles of wine and then just trashes me. You know, what? I'm not oddly shaped.
No.
Yeah, I think you are kind of just standard. You know, there aren't a lot of.
You got a nice shape.
Yeah.
Good shape, Ig.
This is a public service announcement. On Saturday at approximately 4:23 p.m., a blow-up hammerhead shark was stolen from a little kid at the zoo. The suspect was described as an old man in his 70s, bleach blonde hair, face that looks like an old catcher's mitt, and skin that looks like bacon. He was last seen wearing a Lady Gaga t-shirt with said hammerhead, asking zoo management why they don't have a hammerhead exhibit. Please keep your guard up for the suspicious character. If you see someone looks like a Cheeto, run the other way, forever and always. Mae Young's new born hand. And finally, when I moved to South County, I heard that Jay made fun of me whilst I was texting him feet pics from my car. Then I divorced that ugly girl. Ain't it a cruel and funny world? Jennings' legendary cheeks span 3 feet apart. I listen to his voice, and I don't have a choice. I'm finished before I even start. Alarm clock starts ringing. Who could that be singing? It's me, nudging Jay awake with his wake-up call. That's where my ex-wife is unattractive, but I like the cut of Jay Jr. is all that and a bag of chips.
Sick man.
All right, I'm
a sick man.
And that's what we have for the Hot Shots email today. Show me what you got, little mama. Show me what you got, little lady. Show me what you got, short
I thought it was a great batch. I wrote down a few, and they were all equally good. I think I'm going with Misty Plops. His made me laugh the hardest.
Plops.
Plops has already shipped it. I didn't even get a vote. Misty Plops is shipped.
A lot of good
the email
ones.
Of the day. The Hot Shots email of the day. And that's Cardinal tickets, Jack, for this Friday's game.
How?
The Cardinals with big promotion weekend. Check it out at stlcardinals.com. It's the Lions Choice Famous Roast Beef handoff to Frank Cusimano in the Hollywood Casino Press Box. Comes your way here in about 3 minutes on this award-winning radio presentation. No suspensions today, so Wright Business Products pen stayed in the case. Time for us to shut it down for the Plowhawk, who had a three-star day, Jennings.
Huge day, Plowhawk.
Huge. For Iggy, for the Seamaster, for my brother Kevin, for Jennings Randolph Jr., and for Douglas Elvin. Vaughn, you're back in tomorrow, Jennings?
I am in Thursday.
Charlie's in tomorrow. For Jimmy the Cat Hayes, I'm Tim McKernan. This has been the Ryan Kelly Morning After on 590 The Fan, KFNS, 105.7 HD2 FM, and inside STL.com, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios.